Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. In this episode, I talk to a beautifully open, thoughtful, funny comedian who takes the roof off every single Edinburgh festival. He's called Pierre Novelli. First up, though, let's get the dirty talk out the way. Please, may I have any of your money? I've joined this awesome site, and if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/thehooveringpod, there are various monthly amounts from tiny to obscene, which if you had spare, I will exchange for really fun extra things. Also, an increasingly better Hoovering podcast, because that's what I'll be spending your hard-earned wedge on, producers and guests, and biggering and bettering my ideas and my methods. Enough already. This week, Pierre comes around my house. As ever with Pierre, there's lots of calm, warm philosophizing, and we muse on some really big ideas while we eat some really big burgers. He is a right into meat person, so I go for a lunch that's meat-like, but vegan. I make some burgers from scratch, and we also try the new Iceland plant-based ones called No Bull, which I'd read some fascinating blogs about. They appear to bleed. What? Anyway, Pierre is gorgeously and disarmingly open about overeating, so we share the shit out of that stuff too. All yours. Here we go.
Look, there's pretend blood.
Oh, yeah.
If these are nice, I can just do some more of these, because I've got loads in the freezer.
Oh, great. Okay.
I've read good things.
We can try the cachet first. I mean.
Yeah, shall we?
Yeah. Sriracha, big fan?
Yeah, yeah. Big fan. Yeah. Do you want to... I'm going to have a CD roll first.
Yeah, I'll have a CD roll.
We're having burgers. We're having vegan burgers. They're called No Bull Burgers, and they're from Iceland, and apparently they're quite good... for something affordable, quite good fake, actual, like a burger.
Because that's the tough thing, is the affordability, isn't it?
Yeah, because they've got quite good at making stuff, but it's still really expensive, yeah. I think.
I have a joke in my show this year about veganism.
Yeah.
Or just a routine about how I admire it, but I don't share the instinct. I think some people do it as a way of punishing themselves.
And
saying, like, I enjoy life so much, I want to see how hard it is to have to buy cashews every day. I want that to be my main barrier.
Slightly more expensive than meat as well, actually. Unless you found, like, the most incredible...
Yeah, your own tree.
Yeah. your own cashew tree.
I actually looked at how they have to... The thing around a cashew nut is, like, has to be treated. What's the thing with, like, bleach, like, it can burn?
Oh, God.
Like, it's really, like, they have to soak it and do this, like, extracting a nut from a cashew fruit.
Oh, God.
It's quite difficult.
I had no idea of that. Well, then they should be so expensive.
Well, that's it. I was on Google going, like, they literally grow on trees. What the fuck is that? So this is vegan cheese with it as well.
Yeah, so this stuff... Have a bite of it before you've mixed it with other things so it doesn't taste like cheese, but it's fucking addictive. This is Veo Life original flavour slices. They taste of salt and coconut, but I can't stop eating them.
It smells like cheese.
Mm.
They've nailed the smell on it. It smells like French cheese.
Mm.
But it looks like American cheese.
It tastes just of salt. And I love salt.
I'm a big salt person.
Mm.
But not as bad as my mum and my older sister.
Really?
I've seen them salt peas.
I love your mum and older sister. In your last show, which I saw recently, the stuff about eating in there was so funny. But there were so many bits where I was like... My friend Sarah had to put her hand on my arm. I think I was having quite a... Oh, my God, yeah! Oh, my God, yeah! Oh, my God, yeah! I'm like that.
Oh. Well, relatable.
Yeah, so relatable.
Every show I've ever done has had eating stuff in it.
Has it?
Always.
Well, I find it quite hard to do eating stuff. I've done... Like the old line about it. I remember having a bit about being like Henry VIII on the inside.
Yeah.
But I've never had a chunk of show like that. And I'm really impressed. I think it's quite a hard thing to be funny about.
The second show I did, I had a big one about when I feed myself takeaways. And I was much worse back then, but I was still pretty bad now. And it was the Domino's. What you do is you convince yourself that you've earned it.
Yeah.
I've earned this. I deserve it. It's not just I want it. I deserve it. If there was justice, if there was a God, really.
Yeah.
And you really convince yourself. And then the logic was, there you go, I've had a very good day.
Yeah.
I've got a lot done. I've worked hard.
Yeah.
I sent an email.
Yeah.
I should reward myself with a large Domino's on my own. Or alternately, you could say I've had a very bad day.
Yeah.
It's been very tough. But I have survived. And why not reward myself with a large Domino's? And the third option is, it's been a very normal day. Why not spice things up? We'll always find a way.
Tell me about it. I had only had a Domino's like in the last 3 or 4 years because I just had never tried an actual Domino's. I'd always had rip-off versions.
Mm.
And where I used to live in Brockley, which is like the next little bit of Southeast London along, there's an amazing pizza place called Dominic's. We're really good for that in Southeast London, actually. There's a fried chicken shop in Forest Hill. I swear to God. There was... So, what happened is there was a... there's a chain called Morley's that's everywhere.
That's the famous one, isn't it?
And then there was a chain... And then one opened up called Perfect Chicken. There's one in Hither Green called Preferable Chicken. Seriously, called Preferable Chicken.
Preferable Chicken.
Then some joker in Forest Hill tries to open up another Perfect Chicken.
Oh, shit.
And they obviously get in trouble for it, and they've had to change it, and they've changed it to Perfect Chicken. F.
They're saving money on the sign.
Yeah. Well, they've just put a giant F over the P.
You know the best chicken has fur. We all know that.
Perfect chicken.
This chicken's so fresh, it still has its fur.
Are we doing the burger that's potentially nice first, or are we trying the sloppy thing?
We should at least try a fork of the hash
hoe. Yeah.
We'll call it hash hoe.
So I've tried to homemake my own beef-like burgers. All the ingredients are nice. We'll see if we can even tell what they are. Should I just bring it over and slop stuff on? So I thought this might be nice, but all the while through I was looking, there's no fat, there's nothing binding it. Oh, it's heavy. I might need to get you to come to me.
Come to you.
Don't tell feminism. Jesus.
I like the idea of it being one person. One really vigilant person.
I can imagine that, you know.
Yeah. Shit. What's in it? I can see a beetroot.
Yeah.
I can tell that.
Let's see if you can tell. It's like a terrible quiz.
Oh, it is nice.
Does it taste okay?
Yeah, it is nice.
God, I wish I cooked you something nice, Pierre.
It is nice. Beetroot and, like, seed?
Seed? So there's beetroot, mushroom, portobello mushroom, long grain rice.
Ah.
Yeah, grated roasted beetroot.
Yeah.
Walnuts.
That's what it is. That's what I'm tasting.
It's the only protein in there. Right. Mm. Let's have a real life burger. No, it's not real life burger. Look, these are fucking weird. I'm taking a picture of the fake blood.
Yeah, it's pretty...
So vegans that actually really desperately hate the idea of a dead animal are not going to be into these. That is almost creepy.
So it's quite like Halloween-y.
Yeah.
I would be more impressed if there was someone who went vegan. They were the kind of person who really loved, like, blood.
Yes.
But what? They still went vegan. You go, you have a natural love of blood. That's much harder.
It's so much harder for you.
Yeah, because if you're already put off.
Yeah.
It's less impressive, isn't it, as like an act of will.
Well, I am... So I'm not properly vegan at all, but I really like a really rare steak. Like, I do quite like blood. What? I said it.
I like blood.
Oh, it does taste nice. Maybe if I'd use some, like, aquafaba or whatever that stuff is.
What is that?
Well, I think officially it's the gunk out of a chickpea can.
Oh, that's but,
like, it's now being sold on its own for lots and lots of money. And you can use it as a binding agent instead of eggs.
I see. Yeah, that would have worked, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
It's still very nice, though.
It's going to taste okay. I'm going to put...
some sriracha in there. It's nice.
Mmm. That's vegan mayonnaise. It's got sriracha in it, by the way.
Mmm.
If you want to try that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going in for the Iceland fake one. Mmm.
Vegan mayo. That's it looks and really smells nice. Like it.
Yeah, it's really spicy. Are you a spicy person?
I am a spicy person.
Good.
I absolutely am.
Mmm. Delicious.
I'm a fan of this.
It's been so long since I've had a beef burger that it's actually...
I can vouch.
Yeah?
It's never been more than 2 hours since I've had a beef burger.
You legend. You're a hero.
I'm like,
you had the,
I'm
well,
like
that's why I wanted to do burgers. So I was like, I haven't had a burger for ages. I saw someone tooting about these No Bull ones, and you've got the most stunning line in your show, which I've been laughing to myself about for ages, where you talk about when you go for a burger somewhere and they're like, they're like, oh, and for £1 extra, do you want an extra patty? And you're like, what? Who's going to say no to that? And then how upset you get at the idea that you might have missed out on that. And the line, I believe, is, I could have been on that plane.
Chilled to the bone. Chilling.
Oh.
Just because it always struck me as insane, because it's the main thing.
Mm.
If you order a burger in a pub, like, the meat part is the main part.
That's
of the main
part. That's the exciting
part.
Bit.
You're going to double that fun.
Yeah.
For the smallest price.
Oh, I'm getting in some kitchen roll, if required. I will require it. Mine and Muffy. Mmm. I'm so relieved that the sort of liquid fake burger tastes nice at least, and that this bit is satisfying at least burger-esque.
The Iceland ones do genuinely taste like normal beef burgers from Iceland. Like they do taste like really processed beef burgers, but which are very nice in their own way.
In their own salty, Moorish, cancery way.
Eerily soft.
Mm.
You know, this beef is eerily uniform in texture, eerily soft.
It is. It looks awesome.
Mm.
They've done something very clever to get the texture like that, haven't they, with soy and beetroot.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it doesn't taste of beetroot, because the one I made is so beetrooty. I'll be honest, though, the only way I fucked with the recipe for that, the homemade one, is that I put probably double the beetroot that it said in.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't want to throw away half a beetroot.
That's fair.
But do you think that's maybe made it too wet?
It may be, yeah, but it's hard to say. Mm. But it would function like, I would order that.
Mm-hmm.
As even as not like a substitute for something, because it's just quite nice. It's like,
yeah,
it's responded very well to being fried.
It would do better to call itself like a vegan steak haché or something, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So are you into cooking?
Mm. The first experiences I had of cooking were braais.
What's braai?
A braai is like South African barbecue.
Mm.
So it's all on coals. And I get nostalgic when, you go to those Turkish places in North London.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, the smell of coal cooking.
Oh, that's so good.
That's what braai smells like, same thing.
Or the smell of, like, lush, seasoned meat dripping onto coal.
That as well, fat on coal.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, before I learned how to do, like, indoor cooking, I had, like, my dad and, like, sort of family friends all being like, oh, and this is... how you tell the toughness of the meat and how hot the grill should be. And
oh, wow.
So very, like, grilly, grilly facts.
You say your dad, is that because it was quite a manly pursuit, cooking a braai? How are you spelling braai?
Braai is a B-R-A-A-I. Braai. It's an Afrikaans word.
Braai.
It's sort of manly, but, like, it's something you'd be expected to know how to do.
Fine.
And, like, it's a bit self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. there's loads of, like, YouTube comedy sketches by South African comedians about, like, braai etiquette and, like, who's the braai master?
Nice.
And, like, the deputy braai master.
Fine, yeah.
But it is still, like, half-serious, maybe.
I think I asked that because... So I grew up by the seaside, and we had lots of barbecues, and that was lush.
Mm.
But I was always really into helping with them. I think because it's pretty fucking simple. You can leave a kid, once they know not to burn themselves, stand there and flip things regularly. I now look back on it and realise there weren't many other... I feel like that was one of my more tomboyish pursuits at the time. Yeah.
Mm.
But then I was pretty full-on tomboy.
They're like the very traditional ones I've been to. It's been all the guys around the braai. And all the ladies and the very young kids in the house or sitting down in the on the veranda.
And nice role reversal compared to... some people's normality, I guess.
I always have it in my head as an example of when they go, or any kind of time where everyone's apart is bad.
Yeah.
And you go, but that's the time where they tell, like, dirty jokes that they wouldn't want, like, in a conservative society.
Yeah.
That's the time where they all get to be like, oh, here's my one rude joke.
Yeah.
And they get to tell it around the fire or in the kitchen. And I've overheard, like, you know, one of the wives and girlfriends or whatever is having, like, a chat that you wouldn't want to have about your husband in front of other men.
Well, they're all just slagging their partners off, probably what's happening.
Yeah, well, doing
divided party.
Doing absolute, like, post-mortem anatomy dissection on things.
Brilliant.
Whereas all the guys are generally telling, like, rude anecdotes from when they were
I would
students.
Say these days, though, maybe that's in my elite liberal bubble.
Yeah.
But even back down in Dorset, where I'm from, that divide is less.
I've noticed it happens almost not at all now.
Yeah, not at all. Like, parents' generation a bit,
yeah.
But less. Like, it's more...
the people who are doing...
Everybody's stories are as grotty and as visceral or as emotionally open as each other's.
That's
glorious change.
That's changed. The people who are doing it in my childhood on, by now, you know, 60.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
More sense, anyway.
We are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yum in my tum.
I've started eating more fiber.
Okay.
Because it's basically the only way that isn't meat to feel full without going apeshit on chicken nuggets or something.
That's fascinating. So what fiber things are you having?
Rye bread. Serious, like... Even the most dedicated
Nutty
Swede
bread.
Or German would be like, whoa, that's some rye bread. They go, yes, it is. There's almost no bread in it. It's just flattened seeds.
Awesome.
Super, super thick, crazy. Like, eating it's like a job. Gotta really eat the fuck out of this rye bread.
Oh, God. Yeah. Is it really dry and chewy? I'm trying to think.
It's
is it that
crumbly.
Really dark? It's really dark, isn't it?
The mine's one that I buy is full of pumpkin seeds. I buy it on Amazon.
Amazon Fresh, they're taking over the world.
It's not even fresh. These things just doesn't go off. I buy it in bricks, like fucking builders, merchants.
Oh,
stuff.
God.
My flatmate
it sounds
thinks,
filling.
It's beyond filling. Yeah. My flatmate thinks I'm a monster because I have these. I need to not have to think for most meals.
Right.
If I get to think about, like, oh, what shall I eat? For? If that's more than twice a week, I'm exhausted and I'll make bad choices.
Really?
I ate the same thing for breakfast from as young as I can remember until I was 16.
Really?
Every day.
What did you have?
I had two slices of toast and maybe a banana and a cup of tea.
Did you have the same thing on the toast?
Yep, butter. Apart from, like,
just butter?
Maybe on holiday or something or, like, whatever, I'd do something else. But, like, that was day to day. Same thing.
Well, I don't understand why you stopped at butter and there wasn't a Marmite or jam in your life.
Because it's all getting very... There's more than one type of jam and it's rich strawberry, black currant. Already there's too many... I need to.
Fascinating.
It's like how Steve Jobs only had like those that one outfit. That's me and it's Jan.
My neighbour Tom, who lives in the flat underneath this one, he is. I mean, he's probably only 50, but he looks like he's 100. Yeah. I should be so careful. He's only got one outfit. And when he does a wash, which is twice a year, it's just grey pullovers, white polo shirts. That's it.
That's it.
And he must just have the one trousers.
Unless he's like Bart Simpson and he has a big cupboard full of
immaculate. He smokes so much that he is as of a similar hue to a Simpson.
He's like ash. It's human ash.
Oh, God. Oh, he's like a wizened minion.
Yeah.
Oh, horrific. But he's a lovely man and he's a great gardener. He gives me great gardening tips.
There you go.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the same thing till you were 16. And then what happened at 16 that made you go...
Oh, I just...
I need to mix my shit up.
It wasn't even that. I just started learning to eat things like porridge and stuff. Right. I was a very picky eater when I was a kid.
Okay.
And then I grew out of it. But it wasn't necessarily picky with what to eat. I was picky with textures and mixing of things.
Yeah.
So I'd eat everything as long as it was kind of separate. I'd watch my parents do that thing grown-ups do where they put like three bits of area of food, different foods on their fork.
Yeah.
And then eat it. And I'd be like, you people are fucking lunatics.
You're animals.
What is the point of anything having a flavour if you're going to mix it all up and not eat it on its own?
I think about that all the time. Yeah. I think about that all the time. Because it depends on my mood. Like you say, like if I can take the care to eat something slowly, and especially like if I'm talking to someone and I'm meant to be describing for a podcast listener what something tastes like, it's like, remember to stop and taste the thing. it's hard. But then I think something's the whole point, certainly from like... haute cuisine, like posh ass chef's points of view, is that you're meant to have this, and then sometimes you eat things where you get things in layers, don't you, where you get the heat at the end, or
you're supposed to sit and have this whole transcendental experience.
I've just sprinkled salt on this already salty thing.
Very good.
Cheese and tomato goes well together.
Yes.
Now I'm putting some of the homemade one in.
How is it?
The problem is when you do that, like three things on a fork, is you just mainly taste whatever the strongest thing is.
This was my position as a child. My parents thought I was weird. And then I moved to the UK when I was 7.
Yeah.
And I'd never had baked beans before. And I still hate them now.
Fine.
I just... Oh, my word.
Have you ever had homemade baked beans?
I've had sort of fancy... Like, the same thing notionally, but not the same thing. So, like... You're some place where they go, like, haricot blanc in the sauce de tomate. Or whatever, or like, cassoulet de Toulouse. And you sort of go, nominally these are beans in a sauce.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, Heinz baked beans or like tinned baked beans. And just even the smell, I can't deal with it. I just, I used to make my dad laugh by saying, I don't know why everyone in the UK wants their food to be wet. Because it would be like, like nuggets and chips at primary school. Quickly make that wet for you by covering it in beans.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want you to eat something not wet. And then, like, fish and chips. Like, oh, we're going to douse this in vinegar because, you know, it's not wet. So obviously it's not food yet. We have to make it wet. Gravy, make the food wet.
I really need some of my food to have an element of wetness.
Yeah, yeah. Or I'm a real dry...
You want a dry dinner.
I like a dry bacon. Crispy to the point almost of dryness.
Just on its own.
Just on its own, yeah, in an empty castle. That's all I wanted. Echoing halls full of tattered banners.
Snappable, so that little bacon snap just cracks out over the moors.
And the wolves come surround the house. That's my ideal Sunday morning.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How funny, you know. I know that you analyse your comedy, like, to that extent. So, of course, why wouldn't you analyse your food to that extent, too? So you've got an interesting heritage, which you touched on briefly there. Like, South Africa, Isle of Man.
Yeah.
What did that mean in terms of, apart from
Braai.
What did that mean in terms of the stuff you eat when you grew up, apart from this very organised breakfast every day? Assuming that everything else was slightly less routine.
No more gem squash. Which is like a little squash that looks like a dark green cricket ball.
Oh, right.
And it's round. And my older sister found one in Waitrose, but it was a Halloween thing, and it had a sticker saying, like, not for eating.
Yeah, they're gourds, we call them.
Yeah, well, this gem squash is like the round, little round green gourd.
Brilliant.
And my older sister was like, I took it home and ate it anyway, and it was fine. So if you want gem squash, guys, go to get the display gem squash from Waitrose.
They're really easy to grow in our climate, so I don't know why we don't eat them more.
They're very nice.
You can't, the skin's hard, right? You need to.
With gem squash, you cut it like you cut an avo, which is you cut it in half and twist it off, take the big stone out.
Right.
And then you have, like, it's already a bowl, and it's, like, fibrous, like, it's halfway between pure pumpkin flesh and that fibrous bit that you don't eat. It's about halfway between those two.
I think it's, like, halfway between a pumpkin and a courgette.
Yes, yeah.
But with a thick, like, dinosaur skin.
Yes.
So you wouldn't ever, like, with a squash even sometimes, if you roasted it long enough, you could break that down. Whereas with the gourd,
it's like an
I made a soup once and I left the skin because I'd roasted it for ages. So gross!
No, you can't do that. Yeah. And then you turn it on their sides and use it as a bowl. The skin's tough enough to do that. And put salt, pepper and a small amount of butter in the little hollow. Microwave the fuck out of it and then spin it up with a fork.
Nice.
And then eat it like that.
Yummy.
But that kind of thing, like, you couldn't get that. Like, even, like, butternut squash and stuff was, like, couldn't really get it in the supermarkets and things. So
on the Isle of Man, you couldn't.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, avos. Good avos. Because avos, a lot of the avos here are very small. My mum got accused of being very fancy the other day. Because she was talking about growing up as a kid eating avocado all the time.
Yeah.
And it was like, ooh, you know. But it's like, they grow it down there.
Yeah.
You can buy it from a guy on the side of the highway, like a 5 kilo bag.
Yeah.
For like a tenner of just avos. Like they fall on the ground. They leave them there. It's not fancy.
Whereas here, I guess
it's
if
so
you're
expensive.
of a generation where you're, I don't know, I guess our parents are similar ages, like around the 60 mark. Yeah, that they weren't around here for a long time. 70s maybe?
Yeah.
And then they were quite dinner party posh.
But, you know, bring out the avo.
Yeah.
On a bigger cushion.
Who would have ever thought then that there would be teenagers now with tattoos of avocado?
Avocados, exactly.
It's so bonkers that we've got access to that stuff here now when actually it wouldn't make any sense if there's no market for it. And then you see it crop up as a Halloween.
A decoration.
As an ornament.
My sister ate an ornament. She took an ornament home and cooked it and ate it like lunatic. Yeah.
There's probably so many things that originally food that are, what are those oranges that you've got the cloves stuck in? They make you want to eat them up.
Yeah. I always didn't understand that because that's another thing. It's like fruit is more exotic because South Africa's full of fruit. Like it's not expensive. Fruit's one of the few things that's definitely cheaper.
What age did you move from there?
Seven.
7 years.
Yeah. But there's a bit of a diaspora on the Isle of Man, so it was a weird, like... I'll tell you a big thing, preservatives.
Right.
I had terrible asthma as a kid. Really, really bad.
Really?
Really bad, yeah. Dangerous level of asthma. And it got triggered by preservatives, E-numbers and things. Like, soft drinks in South Africa are, like, luminous orange. Like, it looks like highlighter pen
like
orange.
Like Sunny D.
Well, much worse than Sunny D. That's at least yellow. I mean, like, highlighter orange.
Right.
Really bad. And I would have terrible asthmatic fits triggered by any soft drink with E-numbers or preservatives and different types of weird sodium, none of which you can put in food in the EU.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Like,
it's
my
exactly
asthma.
That's what I was going to ask.
Is way better.
Are you worried about, after Brexit, your asthma coming back?
I was a bit worried, yeah. We're going to start putting MSG and everything.
Well, I read that we need to do a trade deal with them for them to keep, with America for them to keep buying our steel.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a food trade deal, and there's no way they're going to sign up to even things that say we need to say on food where it's from, let alone all that shit that's in it. I remember having some Cheetos in New York, which we get here, and they're nice, but they were bloody delicious, but my fingertips stayed orange with the dust for like a day.
Oh god, yeah. It's like industrial, like you could colour a barn with it, like wood. You could stain wood with that stuff. That's what's worrying.
What's going on in our tums? What goes on inside you when you put that shit in? It shows how sturdy human beings are.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, all American and South African kids aren't dead.
Yeah, or, like, they're just running around with pinprick eyes, you know? Just freaking
and nuclear
out.
Nuclear fingertip.
Glowing.
Yeah.
Part of a trade deal between America and Japan is that Japan has to buy a certain amount of rice from America. But it's Japan, like, they know their rice. And American rice is apparently not...
Yeah.
And they leave it there to rot in the port. They just don't even bother trying to sell it. Like, they might feed it to animals, but they don't even... doesn't even make it to a supermarket. Because they're just like, no one in Japan wants this rice.
I love the idea in terms of, like... just in terms of food waste, like, I wonder what it would do for the environment, full stop, if there was some science fiction way of just looking at all of the things like that that are happening all the time and just stopping that.
Yeah, like, it's very difficult to understand sometimes because you'll see vaguely on the news, they'll go, oh, such and such a country in Africa, and blah, 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 famine. And you see the word famine, and in your head you just go, it took me years, because I'm sitting there going, but it's the most fertile place on earth.
Yeah.
Like West Africa is so good for growing fruit, sometimes they have two crops a year from the same tree. Like, it's that fertile.
Wow.
So what the fuck is...
Yeah.
It can't all be like that bit in The Lion King where it's dusty and there's dead trees and claws and whatever. What the hell? And a lot of it's just engineered. They just, it's like dictators find an area of the country where it's a tribe they don't like and they'll raise the price of food artificially. So it's an artificial famine. So it's not even about sending the food. It's about, like, a guy's not letting them have it or it costs, like, double what it should.
It's absolutely mental.
It's all there.
I saw a documentary when I was pregnant about this tiny village. So in West Africa, where something like 10% of the population live into their 90s, and everybody else at the average life expectancy is in their 50s.
Yeah.
And they finally worked it out that the 10% that are living, you know, twice the age often, is because during their mother's pregnancy was when they had their greens. Mm. The only 10% of the year that there were greens available to eat. And that had to be during the first 8 weeks of their mother's pregnancy.
Folic acid.
That they were having, like spinach, basically, or any greens. Yeah,
did you have cravings?
Oh, God. I mean, actually, I just crave the shit out of meat. Like, real protein craving.
Yeah, yeah.
And up until before then, I'd gone, like, quite veggie.
Yeah.
And now I'm really... I couldn't have not listened to it.
Yeah,
it
was You must.
And also, I craved really rare meat, which I think just meant I wanted iron and protein, and I just didn't listen. Have you had a random craving, like a really random craving?
Oh, all the time. Like, food is... like, I have such a weird... what did I have? Marshmallows the other day. And I don't like sweets.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, I left my flat at night.
To go get
marshmallows. Because I couldn't get rid of the thought. Which
do you get, like, little obsessive moments with a specific food like that? So weird, isn't it?
I mostly get it with the idea of overeating in general.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's specific, yeah. But mostly you ever get that thing where it's like the terrible yawning hunger where you go, it's actually like, it's better to not eat anything until this feeling goes away. Because if I eat a little bit during it.
Yeah.
It'll never be enough and I'll have to keep going till it's like...
And you've tipped into that... Oh, God, well, we've got tucked straight into this. So one of my favourite things is when I first started to start a conversation about begging you to come and do this podcast, you straight away on my message said, oh, I'm just about to start training again after a patch of binging. And I was that's... And, you know, people throw that word around and stuff, but also I'm doing so much work at the moment, which I understand is going to take me a long time to detach the shame from that. But it's so refreshing whenever anyone is like, oh, no, I really do a lot of binging.
I'm really over the side of the ship here.
Hands right up. I had it yesterday. So I went through a really funny process. Have you ever had any therapy about it?
Oh, God, yeah.
I and so you've done, like, food diaries and all that stuff.
I still do it.
Yeah. Oh, no, me too. And every now and again, I don't know how many months. I'm probably this year, doing it, but at the moment I'm not keeping food diaries because I find it really hard to work out whether they're making me better or not. I know that they can take me into a more even keel, but then once I carry on with them for a bit, then they start adding to the obsessive feelings, I think, for me.
But that's... I had to catch myself when I got really into mine in the last few months of last year.
Yeah.
But I always made sure that I never reached the point where if I was about to cook something in oil,
yeah,
that I bothered measuring the oil.
Oh, no.
Because that's already... You're going... You can't live like that. That's ridiculous.
I can't even count calories. I can't bear it.
Well, see, I had a weird thing with that because the only way I've ever made a success of living healthily is by doing that. But
really?
I grew up with two sisters.
Right.
And so it was always like, you shouldn't do that. Whereas...
I thought you were going to say the opposite. I thought you were going to say, oh, they're on diets their whole lives.
No.
Oh, I love... God, no, I love these salty sisters even more.
The salty sisters, yeah. They were there doing everything. It was all fine.
Yeah.
Like, they obviously still had their own worries and anxieties about it. But I was always told, like, oh, no, you must never. And in reality, like, it's been the only way I've been able to keep track. Because otherwise, like, I don't know what the fuck is in things. And I just lie to myself and... But it's that thing where it's like, there can't be one rule. But I understand that that rule is built around a greater risk. Like, it's more important to just say that rule and...
It's different for everyone, isn't it? I think there's definitely going to be people who...
But if you had a family of multiple kids, boys and girls, you'd be like, I'd rather have, like, a chubby son than, like, a dying daughter.
I'd rather have chubby all the kids. I'd rather have big, fat all the kids. Definitely. Than a family obsessed with their own value according to their own size. And constantly analysing food as a commodity in that way. But that's me. You know, I've got friends who've made themselves much healthier, is the best way of putting it, through quite regimic diets. Yeah. My mother-in-law included, actually, and another dear friend recently have both shed a ton of weight, but also as part of a big fitness kick through, like, really. But I've never been good with that kind of organised stuff. It can happen to me, but it has to sort of happen to me in a way which I haven't chosen.
Yeah.
Like, when I first moved to London to go to university, I went from my... Like, we were talking before we started recording about how free and chaotic our rural upbringings were. We were just loud out, and then we just came back, and then we were allowed out again, and no questions asked. But anyway, I went from that, in the middle of the countryside, to... Got to London... is in catered university halls.
Oh, yeah.
So dinner and breakfast were at the same time every day. And there was shit options, but I've always loved healthy food. I just want 18 times too much of it.
Yes, yeah.
But the same things were happening to me every day. That combined with a routine enough life that when I joined a gym, I could go at set times to classes I liked, find stuff I liked. Also, I got to London and went, oh, I don't think I can be 5'5" and nearly 16 stone here in baggy, massive baggy trousers, giant baggy t-shirt, an incidental heartbreak, which I think helped, but also that, like, helps, time for a change, but also that the fact that I then could go to having massive great big, like, breakfast and then a jacket potato for dinner every night, because most of the other stuff from that catered halls was disgusting. Yeah,
but then, see, that's the thing, is it's removing the agony of choice, or that's why I like the food diary thing.
See.
Choice is a real agony, because you end up going, like, let's say you decide, because you're a sadist, like, I'm so tired when I wake up in the mornings, that to take someone in that tired condition and go, do a food quiz now. It's horrible, like, a spritz of lime? What are you fucking talking about? Chili flakes? Leave me alone. I'm so tired. Like, I don't even want to eat, I just know I must, I know I have to, because it's morning time now. Like, no. So, like, get rid of that. And that's what I liked so much about school as well, and university halls, was because it was like, there's three things.
Yeah.
You will like one of them quite a lot.
And they'll dish it out for you. You don't have to say...
You can't control the portion.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, because those big dinner lady spoons.
Yeah.
I go, apeshit, have you left me?
But that thing of that desire to overeat, like, one of the things, the revelations I had, which I've spoken about on this before, is that you're supposed to sort of look at what emotions it is that make you want to eat when you're not hungry.
Yeah.
And where I stopped on that is because it's all emotions. Yes. right through from very extreme anxiety and rage, where I just basically wait for my hand to start reaching for something, but right through to once, and on the subject of pre-dinner, I felt very mild relief. I had a series of jobs in town in the day, like recording things and stuff, and then a gig I wasn't particularly fussed about, and then I found out I didn't have to do it, it was cancelled or whatever, and I'd won, you know, 3 hours of my evening back, and that very slight relief, that instant I thought, on my way home for dinner, I could get a burrito.
Yeah. It's your first instinct.
And I stopped and thought, I gotta tell my therapist this.
Yeah.
And I've gotta stop listing the emotions, because it's breaking my fucking heart. That every emotion.
It's pointless to list if you know that it's your reward, punishment.
Oh, it's your everything.
Everything.
It's everything.
You go, when do you want to eat? You go, well, grief, Sadness, anger, happiness, boredom, celebrating. When it's raining.
She gave me a list of, like, an enormous spreadsheet with hundreds and hundreds of words for different emotions on, and I was like, my love, this isn't a problem articulating the breadth of emotional range.
Did you just write it on the whole page?
Yeah.
In big crayon.
Hungry.
There's like sauce on the thing when you hand it back. There's like already sauce on this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
I first started doing stand-up as a student.
Yeah.
And the first few gigs, I would have a few beers.
Right.
Before I did the stand-up.
Before you did your stand-up?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Would you like any more to eat, by the way?
I'll eat some more of the hache.
Help yourself. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's not very good hosting.
That's perfectly reasonable hosting. And I realised I didn't want to be a stereotype.
Right.
Of the drunk comedian or the comedian who needs to drink.
Yes.
Because there's nothing I hate more than the idea of being a stereotype.
Like every other comedian, ironically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The thing I hate is the same as everyone else hates. And I was very self-aware of that, and I had a few friends who were drinking, shall we say, dangerous amounts.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I want to avoid that, but then that just meant I replaced it with food. So food became the celebration and the punishment and the binge.
Yeah.
Because if you need to binge on something, it's like, it's psychological.
Yeah.
Where you're saying to yourself, and that's what I always used to say to people, where I used to say, but I don't understand, like, in your life, where do you get to have the thing that's too much?
Yeah.
Where's your too much? You have to. How can you not have at least one? How can you live like this? And I didn't understand that their mindset just didn't have that.
Yeah.
I used to look at my friends.
There aren't many people that don't have that.
Well, that's the thing.
With something. They don't even smoke.
But they do with like sport or something, you know. That's the thing.
Get obsessed with exercise or sex.
Yeah. But I'd say to them, like, and I was trying to be smart about it. I'd go, well, that guy, it's a guy and he's about my age and about my height and my build.
Yeah.
So that's a better example, right?
Yeah.
And they'd be in this great shape. And I'd be like, but we hung out on Saturday and we had the same number of pints and fast food and, like, everything. Same.
Yeah.
Why, or they had half or whatever. And you sort of, I used to think these people have incredible willpower.
Yeah.
And they don't.
No.
They just don't want to do it. It doesn't take willpower to not do something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
It's like saying, well, how do you have the willpower not to eat all that glass from the floor? You go, well, it's not hard, is it? I don't want to eat the glass from the floor.
Yeah, not all the time.
You're incredible resistance to doing that unpleasant thing to yourself. They don't like it.
Yeah. And I like all the things.
Mm.
I like to be drunk. I like to smoke cigarettes. And with all those things, I have to say, I have to treat it like food, actually, weirdly, which you can't ever give up completely. And I think with alcohol, I feel of the three things,
mm-hmm.
that's the one where I'm most good at going, don't drink for a week. I feel disgusting very quickly if I'm on the lash big time for a long time.
Even 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
of proper drinking, and you just go, oh, fuck this.
Horrid.
Yeah. You're just filling your body with poison.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't even feel nice in the moment, actually, no. Partway in. I've had some family here from the States, and they're just in holiday mode, but yeah. I can't, you know, they're drinking from lunchtime every day. Two days joining in. I felt absolutely disgusting. And they're not wild. Like, they're here with little kids and stuff, but, like, I couldn't bear it, yeah.
I think booze I'd probably miss the least.
Yeah, me too.
If someone said, you can never have booze again, I'd be like, oh, no.
Mm.
Like,
I'd be really sad, actually.
I'd be sad at Christmas.
Yeah.
Rest of the year, I'd be like, no.
Really? That's impressive. I'd be really sad if I
could, but it's a reason. You have to give me a reason. So my friend's like, why aren't you having cans in the park, whatever?
Yeah.
Then I could be like, well, you know, I'll die. then they'll leave you alone about it.
You do have to give people a really good reason.
Yeah.
And if you are a woman and you don't drink just because you're having a week off the lash and you are known to be a breeder, everyone will assume you've got a new one in the oven.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
You promised them. Ah. No intention of doing that again.
A breeder.
we got us a breeder. 5 second rule, yes or no?
Oh, it depends where. It depends where, doesn't it?
Yes.
Your own kitchen floor.
Yeah.
For some reason, there'll be a lot of leniency there. I've blown the dust mildly off something.
Yes.
Before in my life.
I think part
it depends
of this,
on what it is.
Yeah.
Raw meat, I'd say no.
No. Did you grow up with pets?
Yes.
Hmm. I think people that grow up with pets are a little bit grottier than people who didn't.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You kind of got to be.
I've only learned to be grotty post, like, 16.
Mm-hmm.
I was very picky and not germophobic, but very...
But did things have to be just so in terms of cleanliness?
Very
as
fastidious,
well?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, like, and like, whereas, like,
Bit OCD?
A little bit. Although you're not supposed to say that, a little bit, but whatever. Honestly.
You're supposed to say...
17.9%
OCD tendencies.
I exhibit particular tendencies that appear low on a diagnostic chart of a particular condition. But then I was big into army cadets, and we did lots of camping and stuff.
Nice.
And eventually, if you're tired enough and you just really want the tea, and a load of grass blows into it, you just drink the tea. You just go. But it made me more of a... Like, just more relaxed through just circumstances about food and cleanliness. It made me more comfortable.
Brilliant. Just a bit of outdoor culinary fun.
Well, yeah, or just something where it's like, we're going to make you sit in the woods till you behave reasonably. Not, like, explicitly, but that's what ended up happening.
That's exactly what they were doing.
It worked really well.
God, I find it so fascinating. Have you got any particular hopes when it comes to eating in the future and technology?
Oh, I'm keen to try some of the artificial meat.
Yeah, like we just had.
But like the ones they grow in a lab.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like...
Fascinating.
It's the same as meat, technically.
So that's an interesting choice. So in terms of like... You said you're not inclined towards veganism or vegetarianism.
Yeah.
But that's not because of a disregard for... Where do you stand in terms of eating and ethics? Does that come into you? Does that go out the window as part of your not overthinking eating?
I'm aware of it in that sense. Like, it's in Marc Maron's thing about being vegan.
No.
Where he says it's sort of anorexia in disguise. Because he used to be an anorexic.
Some people it is, right.
He's like, I'm not going to join your disordered eating club just because it's the nicest one. Or it's very saving about it.
Yeah.
So there's an element of that.
Yeah.
I won't buy, like, battery eggs or battery hens or whatever, but I will eat, like, free-range chicken. I'm fine with that. I've hunted birds.
Wow.
I have hunted birds. So people say, would you kill it yourself? I go, yeah, and I have.
Yeah.
And I've eaten that.
And with guns, shot them in the air.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the Isle of Man?
Ducks on the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
One Christmas. We have a friend of ours is a farmer, and it's not a lake, it's like an old quarry that's like a lake just because of the rain.
Yeah, yeah.
And like an inconvenient number of ducks have decided to live on the lake. to the point where he's like, that's the only reason I'm inviting everyone to come around and to go duck hunting. Yeah, it's like, right. You're kind of doing
can
your favour.
Can you eat a duck? Of course you can eat a duck. Did you eat the duck or did you just shoot them?
Well, we ate some of the duck, but like, you don't know which one of them you shot versus
fine.
One.
Fine, yeah, sure.
But then, and then you send them to like the butchers and they'll sell them.
God, that's fascinating.
Well, yeah, it's like the same as if it's from a farm in any other sense.
And was it fun, though?
It's really difficult. Like, really? It's about 1,000 times harder than you could ever possibly imagine.
I'd be frustrated.
You do stop feeling bad. It's hard enough that you stop feeling bad, you little shit.
That's why it's so popular. People get in there and be like, oh, good killer. Because you miss so many times that you're exactly. Like, you want to die?
You make a fool of me.
I used to read a similar thing, but not to do with eating. I used to read the traffic on the radio. I used to be like, and actually, it was like really shit money for a really horrible hours job.
You and Hal Crattenden.
Did he?
He was a traffic man.
Did he? I don't know why. I'll have to talk to Hal about that. But what was awful about it, and it's exactly the same terrible logic, is that when you were doing like BBC Cambridge and they were just reading out the same free roadworks that weren't causing any delays on the hour, every 15 minutes. Oh, you start to pray for an accident.
Something clear. Someone overturn a truck of
desperately
beer barrels.
Yeah, something you could talk around like that, but with minimum sort of people harmed.
Yeah. That's it, the same instant.
But you kind of were just like, oh, someone have a prang.
Because I thought I'd feel bad about shooting a duck or whatever. Because I thought, because I'm, it was that weird, it was almost like arrogance. Like, well, I'm a human. Yeah. You know, I'm so much smarter than a duck. And also, I have a gun.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's so imbalanced. Like, this is going to be, I feel bad because of how easy this is going to be.
Yeah.
And then it was basically impossible. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Now we've won all the ducks.
Like an idiot. I have every advantage and I still can't win.
I'd kick one to death now.
Get furious.
I think I'd be exactly the same. From how bad I am with road rage, I think I'd be exactly the same if I did any sort of animal hunting. I don't have a problem, by the way, with animals dying for food. And I do think humans are better than animals. There was some insanity, I think, on Twitter recently where someone had... A woman had... who was kind of an out... You know, an open
ice cream woman.
Yeah. This out vegan woman had said she walked past a crying little girl and she bought her an ice cream and it made her day and she'd done a nice thing that day. And some absolute weapon had sort of... and not just had a go at her, he'd then gone on to try and bring the Twitter-arty vegan community in wrath, all in on this one woman. Basically said, troll this woman for having done something that
kind. So maybe if we all tell her how bad she is, then she'll change her ways and it'll be good for the world.
What a horrible, horrible... I mean, it's like the parody of the animal rights activists that is appalling to humans.
That's what is most difficult to deal with about those people, because that person, as a type of person, is the same as, like, some redneck Texan Baptist, mad Baptist Christian, like, evangelical, who's like, maybe if we all send Mildred angry cards in the post and like don't look at her, don't speak to her, then she'll receive the life and love of Jesus. So it's all dressed up as like it's all good for you,
but it's all hate.
Yeah, it's like,
and it's all driven by hate and anger.
Yeah, they go, I'm a bully and I'm correct about everything, and I've noticed someone be different to me and I'm furious, and I think we should all be furious. Maybe we all bully them like I want to because I'm furious because I'm correct.
Oh.
But those two people both think that the other is on a different side. And you go, no, you're on the same side.
You're exactly the same
person.
You're
exactly the same person.
You're someone led by anger and hatred.
You're just on different
teams.
Even
if you can't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And also
it boggles me.
Yeah. And also the fact that, like, I've got to the point now where there's certain films about conspiracy theories or vegan stuff where it's, like, none of it's cited. It's all based on... some of the footage has been shown to be faked. And
I watched one on Netflix recently and was like, this is... God, what was it called? What? I'll look it up and put it in the notes. But it was... And it was compelling, but I got about half an hour in and went, okay, I mean, I'm not taking anything from this that I would ever share with anyone as being solid fact. This is absolutely some people's idea. It was like one of the most gory examples of confirmation bias.
Yeah, and they film like an illegal farm in like the US state with the fewest animal rights legislation.
Is that, I haven't seen that, is that Cowspiracy?
That's one of the ones that's a bit dodge, yeah. And that's another thing that, like, there's a real disease at the moment in British society with hipsters and comedians and vegans, and we take our cue from American domestic politics.
Yeah.
So then we'll say, like, well, you know, the terrible thing about farming is the fact they feed cows all that corn syrup. And you go, corn syrup? Where are they growing corn in England, you fucking idiot? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's purely American. And they go, this is what farms are like in America. And you go, do you have any idea how highly regulated British farming is? It's EU. What are you
We've
talking about?
We've got one
about?
More year of that, though. Yeah. Do you have a go-to thing with a hangover? We sort of covered that earlier.
I went through a phase of like anything really spicy, like a really spicy like ramen bowl.
Because
it's basically like saline, like salty food.
Well, earlier when you were saying what would you get from an Indian takeaway, and it's like, if I've got a hangover, I'm going hot.
Yeah.
I'm going been whatever's got a two or three chilies next to its face.
Yeah, burn the hangover out of you.
We both travel a lot for work. Yeah, you travel a lot for work. When you go away for a longish time, are there any foods from normal home life that you miss?
Sounds weird, but like just stuff like a chicken breast or turkey breast or something like that, where you could just make it however you like in a pan. Or because if you ever order something with chicken in, sandwich or whatever, it's always like it's rare that it's good chicken. It's rare that it's the same amount you'd get from one whole breast, like that you'd buy yourself. It'd be like a little, let's put three slices in this sandwich, and you go, I wanted the chicken's the main event here for me. I'm not interested in your fucking seed bread, whatever you put around it. Like,
oh.
Yeah, yeah.
You chose the seed bread.
We like the seed bread, though. We know we had the poppy bread.
We did have. Poppy's seed?
It is a seed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just opium bread.
You can fail a drug test.
Yeah, I know. I used to do lots of medical trials for money, and that'd be on the list of things you couldn't eat for a month before poppy seeds. Marmalade? What? Or any really highly concentrated orange stuff, because it's a drug suppressant.
Really?
Yeah, and you couldn't have poppy seeds in case it came up as an opiate in your system.
Really?
Fascinating. Can have any citrus concentrate because it suppresses. And I used to think in my former days when I would enjoy a recreational drug from time to time that when someone said, give them orange juice to level them out, that was an urban myth. But there's logic in it. I'm sure a pint of squash is doing jack shit for anyone who's dropped four pills. But it's based in some science, I think.
Oh my god.
Interesting. Comedy has fallen down a crevice and is hurtling towards the Earth's core. I don't know who did it, but they were very serious bastards. The only way it can be saved is if a man called Pierre with your exact dimensions, who is standing right where you are at the time this happens, does 80 burpees, 100 squats, and then gives a lift on your shoulders to a toddler seemingly made of bricks around a whole park. You do it! You're a hero!
80 burpees.
Oh God. I felt a wave of nausea just at the thought.
Yeah.
You're allowed a shower or whatever, but you're so tired. You're properly like steaming tired, but in that way where you're fired up.
Yeah.
Starving.
Yeah.
And your reward is the feast of your dreams, by which I mean nothing in it has to be practical, real, available, actual.
Okay.
I want to know. It can be totally fictional if you want, but I want to know what your idea of the ultimate perfection in a feast would be. What are you eating, drinking, and also who, with, and where?
It would probably be like braai food or meat or like Nando's is South African as a chain. Everyone thinks it's Portuguese, but it's from South Africa. Yeah, like that kind of braai chicken or whatever. Or I've had moments in the past where I've done a huge workout where you've been really healthy but done loads of exercise for some reason, and just something like chicken where it's like it's so protein and filling, but it's not, you're not sleepy like it's with beef or pork or whatever. It's not heavy. That's great, yeah.
Okay, but like cooked over outdoors over hot coals.
Hot coal with it marinated.
Nice.
Someone's had it in their fridge in a big bag of sauce for a whole week. It's like almost too long.
Hot sauce.
Yeah. Well, nice. Very hot, medium, and like lemon.
This is having a mock Nando's outdoors with every different available choice of Nando's.
Lemon and thyme in one of them, a reasonable one. And butterwurst, like a kind of sausage.
Okay.
South African sausage. But then something you don't often get with brunoise, I'd want like fancy vegetables.
Okay.
I've noticed there's a trend now. It started out, I saw it in one place and I was like, well, I've never seen that. And now it's everywhere, like Pizza Express, everywhere.
Yeah.
Broccolini with the olive oil and a sort of oil broccolini with, what do they put on it? Almond and chili.
Lush.
And it's like...
I had that even in like a...
Car cooked or whatever you say.
That's so nice.
That's really good.
Very slightly. I had that a tandoori long stem broccoli in an Indian place recently. And it was so good.
Oh, red cabbage.
That's
very nice.
Having some of that.
Yeah,
spiced with some star anise and cinnamon and...
Sure, yeah.
Port.
Oh, that's very... Oh, I don't know. That's rich now.
Two. I made it
to Christmas. I'd want the options.
Fine.
I quite like slaws and sort of that kind of Eastern European vegetable.
Nice, stuff. So like a mayonnaise-less slaw, like
and sauerkraut.
Well, that sounds amazing. And would you have a pudding?
I don't know if I'd bother.
Yeah,
I'd have a pudding. If this is some big victory thing,
yeah,
then I would say milk tart. Which is another, like, South African...
Oh, wow.
Because just... It's quite glutinous.
Right.
And it's full of condensed milk and sugar, like an unbelievable amount of sugar.
Right.
And thick, like, milk and cream and whatever, and a bit of egg. Egg white. So it's, like, glutinous in a kind of pastry base.
Like a milk jelly. Base.
Almost, yeah. And then you mix in lots of nutmeg and cinnamon as well. So it's very sweet nutmeg, cinnamon... I'm only picking these things partially because they're normal if you still live in South Africa, but if you grow up in a diaspora, they become like special event reward food.
Awesome. So they're festivity food.
Yeah, more so than like, to be honest, like an excellent cheesecake is probably better than milk tart, but it doesn't have the same.
It's not going to have that emotional component of having nostalgia.
And also more just when you say to your mum or whatever, like, where did you find it? When did you make this? Like, when you find a shop that happens to sell the right ingredient.
That's so interesting, isn't it? That something can be a lot more special just because of its external attachments as opposed to what it actually tastes
There's
like.
There's a quote from someone, one of the really smart French guys from the 1800s or 1700s.
One of them.
Yeah. Voltaire, I don't know.
Could have been.
One of them. Frilly sleeves. Big, rough. One of those guys. And he said, I think the quote is, what is patriotism but the food we ate as children?
Ooh.
And it's like, so much of your idea of national pride is basically just you remembering things you ate as a child.
Yes.
And you go, oh yeah.
And those memories are often so much better than the reality.
Oh yeah. And then you say, oh, it seems silly now. I'd have a cream soda milkshake. That's what I fucking have from Wimpy.
Ooh.
South Africa still has Wimpy.
We have Wimpy in Dorset, where I just in the town Wimpy I'm there. From, still has a Wimpy with a bender and a bun. It still has it.
There's a South Africa had, I think it's Split, the company Split me.
Right.
Or I don't know, but I grew up with the Wimpy's. And they had a thing where in South Africa, cream soda is green, vivid green.
Is it?
Yeah, and it tastes a bit different as well. It's like, it looks horrific.
Because of colourings, to make it. Ideally more attractive, or is there something like lime or apple or something?
No, there's just the colouring. The story is that they made a mistake. They accidentally added like this industrial green dye or whatever. But because it's like the same green as like fairy liquid vivid.
Oh!
It's so green. And they said, oh, it was a mistake, but it sold so well and everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
So now it's green. And then there's a thing at Wimpy you can get, which is the flavour of the green cream soda in a thick ice cream milkshake.
Ooh, nice.
And I don't know how they do it, but I think they just get the actual syrup from that fizzy drink and mix it with vanilla ice cream.
They've got the essence.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that, it tastes of just chemicals.
Yeah, but you like
it's
it.
It's got that Diet Coke aspect to it.
Yeah.
I love Diet Coke as well. I love a good chemical. Suspicious chemicals. I love drinking
My guilty pleasure is a Pepsi Max.
Oh, yeah.
The cherry one, which is even more chemically
than
straight up Pepsi
almost
Max.
Sickly.
I think, I'm sure to me, actually, that I've done enough things to my palate not to be able to tell the difference between Diet Pepsi and Pepsi Max.
You can.
I find it so ridiculous that Pepsi Max is marketed to men. It's because they wouldn't want to be seen as so weak as to need something with diet in the name.
Is that what the logic was? Really?
Same with Coke Zero.
That's odd.
It's diet drinks for men. Coke Zero. It's insane. So they make them seem sporty.
Coke is better than Coke Zero, I think.
I don't drink Coke.
I can tell the difference between these things by smelling them.
Really?
I can smell the sugar in a...
Have you never smoked?
I have smoked.
Have you?
But never, like...
Enough to kill the bugs.
A smoker would never say that I'd never smoked.
It's funny. And so where and who with for this dream?
In summer, in a big park with everyone.
Oh, that's the loveliest answer.
You'd need a big, like...
Yeah.
I would be very impressed by the sheer scale of the number of full roasting chickens. Because you need like a Weber barbecue for each individual.
Oh my God.
The biggest braai I ever went to was for a family friend of ours was moving back to Durban from the Isle of Man. And he had three of those like round little barbecues.
Yeah.
Each one had a chicken in. And it was like whole spicy, medium, and lemon and thyme.
Perfect.
So three whole chickens, a lamb on a spit, and a grill with flank steak and bourrevoice on. Where it's like that steak where it's like it's not the good bit of steak, it's the bit where they make like burnt ends from it and stuff, and you have to really cook the cheeses out of it very slowly.
Lush.
Yeah. The steak thing, you just put it on the braai for a few minutes either side. And then, while it's still bleeding, slice it up into thin strips and hand it out.
Okay.
As like a starter.
Oh, thing. Wow.
Just go around the party and everyone gets a strip of this very tender.
Fascinating. So it'd be a party. You'd make a proper party.
Big. Lots of smoke.
That's an amazing answer.
That would be great. I'd love that.
Huge thanks to Pierre Novelli. What a dear and funny chap. He's working up a new show for the 2018 Edinburgh Festival, which I implore you to see in previews, which he's doing everywhere or up there if you go in. Best place for details is his Twitter, at Pierre Novelli, and that's Novelli with Novelli. Also, he has his own Wicked podcast, exquisitely titled My Favourite Podcast. Look it up. I love that title so much. I always thought if I ever got a racehorse, I'd call it Oh My God, It's Won. Also, a giant thanks to you if you've been supporting the podcast in any way by emailing me, I love that, on Patreon with actual money, I also love that, or just sharing the podcast with others, and indeed just for listening. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. My thanks are big and they are real. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Jessica Fostercue, and I'm increasingly going to be putting a lot more on the podcast's own Twitter and Insta, which is at The Hoovering Pod, without sharing it on my personal stuff. I'm going to let it have a personality of its own, all about eating up. So be sure to be following them. Anything longer than a tweet you want to say, you can email me through my website, jessicafostercue.com. Production by the brilliant Emma Corsham. Music by the wonderful Mike Greenway. Until next time, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.